Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Avengers Podcast, A-B-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. That is one word. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You can also find us wherever podcasts are available and AvengersPodcast.com, where you can find a little bit more about us, and you can find our merch where we have stickers, mugs, t-shirts, and hoodies. Check it out and show your Avengers fandom today. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us at Patreon at patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. We have exclusive content only available on our Patreon. We have $1, $3, $5, and $10 tiers available. Check it out today for shout-outs, access to our Discord, watch parties, and exclusive episodes not found anywhere else at patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. Another way to support the show is if you like it, consider giving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. This goes a long way with us getting eyes and ears on the show, moves us up those rankings, and we greatly appreciate your support. I'm just one of your hosts. My name is Brandon. I can't do this alone. Clinton, Emmy, how are you doing?
I'm feeling conversational.
I almost muted you guys completely. Hi, Clinton, how are you doing?
I'm feeling sarcophagic. Sarcophagic.
Wow, this is
I got it. There we go.
I don't know if you did, but hey!
Nailed it!
Guys, speaking of which, we got 4 new patrons! 4 Woo-wah. New patrons. Welcome. This is to Justin Mullins, Jason Mitchell, Tim Williams, and Tweaking King. Tweaking. Guys, thank you so much to the 4 of you. Welcome to the Patreon.
Did you say Tweaking King?
Tweaking King?
I want them to combine it and be Tweaking.
Oh, wow.
That was okay. All right. Tweaking King, you heard it here. We need you to change your name to Tweaking. It's a play on words.
Yes, yes. I love Twee in lowercase and King in all caps.
All right.
Let's go.
Guys, thank you so much. Thank you. Seriously.
Four is my lucky number. Sorry. You were thanking people, and I was just saying that my lucky number is 4.
All right. We need 4 new patrons next week.
Mine's 8. Mine's 8. Mine's 8's my favorite.
Mine's 300,000. So,
mine's really 8.
Actually, mine's 7. All right. So, guys, we have a little bit of housekeeping to get to. We ran a contest a few weeks back for a free Avengers Podcast hoodie. If you want to know where to find those hoodies, it's AvengersPodcast.com/shop. But we're going to give one away for free right now. What you had to do was follow us on social media, like our post, and comment. And if you're on Twitter, retweet. So we did find a winner, guys. A winner of our Avengers Podcast hoodie is... Do we have a drum roll? Can we make a makeshift drum roll? That's amazing. Okay, cool. A winner of our Avengers Podcast hoodie is Emmy Jane Jones. No, this is not Emmy. No. No. I know.
Emmy.
You're going to think the fix is in. I promise you this is what we
randomly revoked.
This is what we randomly drew. This is not Emmy on the show. This is Emmy.
Where is it?
Ooh, I hope not. That's going to be really crummy. So Emmy Jane
Jones.
Was
there a comment about being an Iron Man 2 fan?
No, they said they enjoyed our review of WandaVision. They said that their first episode of WandaVision was their, or our first episode of WandaVision was their favorite. So
okay,
all right. Okay, so yeah, you know it's not Emmy.
Seems sus, but I'll allow it.
Emmy Jane Jones, send us a DM on Instagram and let us know your hoodie size, and we will take care of the rest. We'll be in contact with you and get your Avengers Podcast hoodie shipped your way.
I think it's really funny that someone with the same name as me won, because I had the brilliant idea of, for April Fool's Day, acting like one of us had won it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, and you guys were like,
we shot that down.
Just pissed people off. And I was like, I think it would be funny.
Oh, yeah. But so the winner of the free hoodie is Brandon. Brandon won. Great job, dude. No. That is ironic. Emmy Jane Jones, just shoot us a DM. Yeah, slide into our DMs. That's a cool way to say it.
Yeah, and I love your name. It's fantastic.
Yes. And we'll get you a hoodie. And hey, if you didn't win a hoodie, you know what? You can always buy one. It's a good consolation prize. So,
there is no shipping added after. So the price you see is the price you pay.
Yep. Just saying. No additional fees. You just pay for
what you have. You have 10 minutes to slide into our DMs. If not, You don't get it.
Oh, and while we record this episode, so you
while we're recording, yeah, so you have no way by the time.
Yeah, you're screwed. All right,
we're
guys,
we're just gonna go through the whole list of people.
Exactly.
Nobody wanted a hoodie.
No one wanted it. That sucks. And then we wear it. We all just have it. All right, guys. Moon Knight episode 3 is here. Spoiler alert ahead: if you have not watched Moon Knight episode 3, do not listen any further because we are going to spoil the hell out of it. This is Moon Knight episode 3, the friendly type. Guys, I don't understand this. Am I going to be a dumbass? I don't understand the friendly type. What?
I don't get it either.
Oh, someone.
I don't know that I do either.
Oh, no. All three of us? Oh, I was really feeling
maybe
like.
Maybe it's a.
Oh. Maybe we'll figure it out as we talk about it.
Yeah, maybe. And if you're a listener, let us know for how dumb we are.
Oh, I think I do get it now.
Okay.
What? I just thought about it.
What is it?
Is it a reference to Steven keeping Mark talked down from doing terrible things?
I guess, but it's still kind of a stretch. You know what I mean?
That is a stretch.
The friendly type? Like, he's not really being friendly. Like, I don't know.
The friendly type of God? Like the gods are the friendly types?
It's still
a
stretch. It's still a
the
stretch.
Fuck they are.
Wow.
Well, the
I mean the dang they are.
Oh, we're
the
explicit. Dang they are. We are an explicit podcast. You can say
a codpast. We are an explicit codpast.
We're an applicant codpast.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
We're speaking in Coptic, whatever that language is that he speaks in.
Pig Latin.
The avatar for Hathor is pretty friendly, like the friendly type.
I still feel like we're stretching. I think it needs to be more obvious than this. When the first episode was the goldfish problem, it was so on the nose. And this is like, it could be this, you know? Like,
and then some in the suit, the second episode.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna say,
Like the flames were friendly. They weren't burning anybody. They're the friendly type of flames. You know, like I feel like we're
the friendly type of flames.
I just feel like we're stretching. I feel like we're stretching is what my point. Like you could say anything. Like it was the friendly type of sand. That's the only type of sand they haven't eaten.
Someone's going to call our asses out. We're missing something.
We're missing something, but we're going to spoil it anyway, guys. So Moon Knight, the friendly type, let's dive in. But before we do and do our little scene-by-scene breakdown, what did we think of the friendly type? Emmy, I'm going to start with you.
I think that the enjoyment that I got out of this episode is shown, reflected in the amount of notes that I took. I was so sucked in that I was not taking a lot of notes. I enjoyed that we finally got to see transitions from Steven to Mark and Mark to Steven, Moon Knight to Mr. Knight, Mr. Knight to Moon Knight that didn't have those blackouts in the middle. And I appreciated that. And I just, this episode was, I think it might have been my favorite so far. It was just a really good episode. The beginning, I was kind of like, what is happening? But then once I got into it, I was there for the ride.
Well said, Emmy. I completely agree. This one, I had to rewind a lot because I wasn't taking notes either. And I was captivated. I was almost like sucked into this world and just completely, I don't know. I kept wanting to pay attention. Like I was just deep in thought watching it. Rather than wanting to do, no offense, podcast stuff. I just wanted to, I wanted to sit and just listen. And that's the tough thing with our schedule. A lot of times we only get to watch it once, take notes once, and you talk about it once. And then everyone points out everything you missed. And so, but this one, I was really like, just kind of just transfixed on what I was watching in the TV. And to your point, Emmy, that's good. That's good storytelling. It's when you don't want to take notes, you just want to sit there and just lose yourself in this world and what's going on. A very action packed episode, more action packed than I think we've seen in previous episodes. I love the transitions. I love the mystery in the air. It still feels like something bigger is looming. I'm not sure what that is yet, but I'm sure we'll see in episode four or five, what that is. And I'm still here for it. This series is actually pressing the gas pedal, and so we'll see where it continues to go. But I don't know. It's weird. It's like I said last week, they're all like my children, like these three episodes. And it's hard for me to pick a favorite. I love them all for very different reasons. And yet it's all the same series. So Moon Knight, kicking ass so far. Marvel Studios doing what Marvel Studios does. So Clinton, what did you think, sir? What was your thoughts on Moon Knight episode three?
This episode was a little jarring to me, I think. I didn't expect the stuff to happen in it that happened. And to your point, Brandon, it's hard to rate them at this point for me, because this had a this episode to me had a very different tone than the other ones did. I guess the other ones were more of Steven figuring things out kind of thing. And this one was like, no, we're going to see Mark's side, and we got a lot of Mark in this episode, which I was here for. But it was nice seeing them work together in this episode. I love that aspect of it a lot. It also gave me a little bit of backing to what I think they're going to do, what they're doing with Mr. Knight in the character of Stephen Grant. He's more the investigative guy, the detective. And it showed in this episode with him figuring out the hieroglyphs and all that with the constellations. So they needed Steven in this episode, but they also needed Mark, and each of them called on the other one. So that it was cool to see them working together. I liked that aspect a lot. And we got some backstory on Layla a little bit with her past, which was cool. And yeah, we got a lot more action in this episode than previously, especially him suited up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And it was awesome.
There's a lot in this episode. There is a lot of different things that happen in this episode. So I'm ready to jump in.
Let's jump in. But before we do, Rotten Tomatoes, Emmy, where are we at with the old RT score?
The old RT score. So
the old RT store. Let's go. Can we start a store that's called the old RT store?
Yep. And they all they sell is Rotten Tomatoes. And there's one onion in their fridge, but you can't buy it because her name's Kevin.
Do you ever just open the fridge and like yell like the Home Alone lady, Kevin? Like, do you ever just, I'm just curious. I don't know why I have that.
Next time I'm over there, I'm gonna take it out, and then she'll look in there and it won't be there, and then she'll yell.
Oh, that would be wonderful. Oh, okay, that'd be
so
great.
Prior to Friday, I need to pot Kevin.
You do not need to smoke Kevin.
No, we don't smoke onions. Oh, we'll talk later. All right.
All right, so critics went up 1 to 87%.
It's climbing.
Audiences went down 1 to 93%. IMDb went up 1/10 of a point, and Google users stayed the same.
Okay. I can respect.
So it was kind of like net zero.
Yeah, I was just about to say one up, down. So yeah. All right. Well, this one went up in my book, and it's not because it's a favorite. I just think it's getting better and better, but I don't, as weird as it sounds, I don't think it's my favorite episode because I love them all. I just think the series is not slowing down. So I think the consistency is what should bring it up. Anyway, so we ready to dive deep into this one, guys?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. All right. So we see Layla getting a fake passport, I believe, and you know, talking about I found him with the scarab living 20 minutes from our old place. And you know, I love how she pauses and like kind of smiles into the camera. That's why you look so unhappy to be going home. It's been 10 years. You know, and talks about, you know, taking them off the black market, return their rightful owners, and she keeps a few to pay the bills, talking about, you know, a lot of relics. And yeah, it's just crazy. It talks about dig sites, archaeology. It's a hard thing examining the past. It's easy to get stuck. And we see the Marvel Studios logo play with some Middle Eastern music playing in the background.
Love it.
It was pretty cool. Have you ever noticed like some, like when there's music playing during the Marvel Studios role, most of the time it goes right with the music. Like
episode. Yeah.
I noticed it. I was like, this goes so well with it. The music goes really well with that opening Marvel Studios logo.
I really love the Arabic and Middle Eastern themes we had in this episode all throughout.
Yeah.
I love that. There's a lot here in the beginning with, we learn that Layla's from Cairo. She's been gone 10 years. Something's happened like with her dad.
Yep. And we find out who might be involved a little bit later.
Here's my theory on this, and this could be completely wrong. I think, obviously, the woman taking the picture and putting all the stuff together at the beginning worked with her dad. So she's a family friend who's helping Layla. I also love the little trick at the beginning. Like when the episode starts, it's blurry of Layla, like focusing in with a camera. And then it like focuses for the picture. That was cool to me. Anyway, I think that Layla's dad is Bushman, and I think Mark killed him.
Oh.
And I think that's the secret that Harrow was talking to Mark about later in the episode that he wouldn't tell Layla about. The secret that he wouldn't divulge to Layla, and she was like, what is it? What was Harrow referencing?
I didn't even put the Bushman thing together at all.
Oh, and in the first episode, no, the second episode, when they the fake cops get them and show them that picture, it's archaeologists at a dig site that, and they say like they were executed, like shot in the back of the head, execution style. Oh, you might be onto something there.
I don't know if he directly killed him, but I think he knows who killed him, or he killed him. And I think it was probably Layla's dad, who was probably another mercenary and from the area. So I think it would be a cool way to tie it in and cause some conflict in the show. So that's just a theory I have. But it really nailed it home, or drove it home for me when Arthur shows up and is talking to him about that.
Oh, yeah, Layla. Definitely.
I mean, Arthur is a deceptive son of a bitch, though.
Exactly. He makes me want to join a cult.
But it did send some, it messed with Mark a little bit. You could tell he was hiding something.
But I don't know. I don't know if it would be that he was the cause of her dad's death.
Maybe he knows.
Well, he might have been protecting himself. Or he might have been. His dad might have been trying to kill him, and he had to do it.
That'd be pretty messed up.
Or he may have killed him. He may have killed him, and that's who Khonshu rose him back from the dead, and then he killed her dad.
Yeah, that would be messed up, though, if...
Well, isn't there someone that's inhabiting Mark and Steven as well? That's not Steven, and it's not Mark?
100%. This episode really confirmed Jake for me, by the way. Yeah.
So, but that seemed like he was doing a lot of bloody work, you know? Like, I don't know, every single time he was... cut off. Do you think it might not be Mark? It might be Jake.
Oh, just it might be him, period.
Okay, sorry.
But Mark seemed disturbed that Harrow knew something, is my point. So Mark knows about it, whatever it is, that he's hiding from Layla.
But he also even talked about knowing Steven, like he was suppressing it. He had it under control. So he knows, he knew of Steven. It's not like Steven just surprised and show up. So he obviously knows of Jake too. So I think he might be protected.
I think this confirms that he doesn't know about Jake.
Doesn't know about Jake because he accuses Steven.
Yep. Oh, well then how does he, but.
Well, I would, maybe though, this is all speculation and theory.
Yeah. Speculation.
What we're doing right now. But what if the stress of trying to suppress Steven creates Jake?
That would make sense.
Golly. This
and neither of them know about him.
Okay. Yeah. Would it not be kind of messed up if Mark like came to, or like, you know, how he blacks out kind of, and Mark comes back, sees Layla's dad, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to go woo his daughter and marry her.
No, I don't think, I think he really loved Layla. And I think maybe Steven was created for that side of him that loves Layla.
Okay. That makes sense.
Cause they get along so well. They have the same love for Egyptian.
Oh, you can tell culture. She's like immediately like
same poems. Yeah. She's like stricken by him.
Yeah. You can tell like as soon as he switched, she was just, that's the guy. That's who I would want to spend my, you know what I mean? Like
and kudos to Oscar Isaac again in this episode.
We're going to say it every episode. When he was Khonshu,
in this episode,
when he was like, Khonshu,
even his look is different with Steven. His eyes, everything is so good. And I wonder, filming this, does he switch it immediately like that?
I think he does.
Or do you think?
Because how effortless it was when he did that, I'm like, he's been practicing. Yeah, I think.
So good.
It's really, really good.
Brandon, you're about to bring up whatever he was being Khonshu.
Yeah.
Like, that acting to me was like, holy, like he was, because the other avatar says, like, I don't fight it. I just let it happen. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that Mark is fighting it. And like, Mm-hmm. He's like out of breath, and the veins in his neck are popping out. Like he did a fantastic job.
And how he's like, you are being deceived. And like, he is just talking. So, oh, it's so good. And yet it's still a different voice than what it's cool.
Boisterous though.
Yeah.
It's very exactly. boisterous. But I thought they would do when Khonshu, like when we knew in the temple that Khonshu was going to be talking through Stephen or Mark, excuse me. I thought they would just dub Khonshu's voice over him.
No,
but no, Oscar Isaac.
It's Oscar
again.
Isaac, because that's what he does.
He seems exhausted too when he's doing it, like when he's talking, and he's just tired after he does it. I love that.
Because he's fighting it like the other Avatar told him not to do.
Yep.
That's awesome. That is really, really awesome. Sorry, Amy.
Okay. At the beginning, when Layla's with that woman who's making the fake passport, and the woman, Layla says it's been 10 years, and then the woman pushes forward the it turns out to be something you can eat, but I don't know what drugs look like, so I was like, oh, she's been sober for 10 years, she's about to do cocaine.
Ah,
because
I think it was Turkish delight.
I definitely 100%, because I bought Turkish delights after Captain America and the Winter Soldier,
yeah,
and
it looked
exactly like that. But Captain because America, I don't know what drugs look like, I what did I say?
Sorry.
You don't know what cocaine looks like from movies?
No.
Well, I didn't know if they had made like little mini bricks. I don't know.
We're a family-friendly podcast, and it's funny.
I don't know drugs.
When you said Captain America and the Winter Soldier, yes, it was called that at the very end of the series, but technically the series was called Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So I was thrown off because I was thinking of the movie Captain America and the Winter Soldier. I was like, no, that was Falcon and the Winter, but I know what you mean. It's just, okay. Yeah. So
do better, Marvel. Do better.
Wow. No, do better. Emmy is what I meant.
Oh, my bad.
Jesus.
Attack the right person. It changed at the end. We're at the
end.
Didn't
change the entire series name. Oh, go on Disney Plus and look up Captain America Winter Soldier. Show me what shows up.
Yep. Good point, Brandon. Yeah. Get her.
Yeah.
You are a flip-flop instead of a bitch.
That's Clint and Clinton. I can't control
it. He's just instigating, so we'll fight. Yeah, Emmy. Fuck Brandon. Yeah, Brandon. Fuck Emmy. It's just our conscience on our shoulders. All right.
No, but that I 100% believe that's Turkish delight, and that was the first note that I took.
There's a couple of similarities with Falcon and the Winter Soldier and
Madripoor.
Yeah, good call. So, we see Arthur with the scarab and with people following him, and we see the scarab leading the way, and it starts pointing directly down, and we found Amit. She's here, and he even gets word that Mark Spector is tracking them, and he goes, "I know. She's here." Like, he is so enthralled. He doesn't care what Mark Spector's doing. He's, hey, you know, I found Amit. Here, we have begun. And, Mark is leaping building to building, starts interrogating these three randos, and starts, you know, beating the shit out of them. There's all these scenes. There's even a point where Khonshu, not giving a fuck, is like, hold him over the ledge. He's like, but you know, he's just a kid. And he's like, no, hold him. And he holds him over the ledge. Kid's like, I think he says, praise Amit. I'm not sure. And then like literally cuts the and then literally falls. Reminiscent of our old buddy, Natty Roman, Natty Romanoff, thud. That's literally to what the caption says. It says body thud.
Oh man. Also, Khonshu gave zero fucks this episode.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Like this episode, Khonshu was in his own zone, and we saw a lot of him in this episode, and he was giving no shits the entire episode. Like, here he's like, hold him over the ledge, he'll talk, and then
he'll talk.
When he dies he's like, I thought he'd talk.
Yeah, no remorse. Zero remorse, just like I guess we'll find another way.
Yeah, and then he gives no shits about the gods and what they want.
Nope.
Twice. This episode. Like, he's gone rogue. He don't care anymore.
You thought the eclipse was bad. Get ready, because I'm about to change the entire constellations from 2,000 years ago. It's like,
and he's going to get, and then he got stoned.
Oh, he did get stoned.
In a way. Turned into a chess piece.
Oh, speaking of which, Mark on the rooftops did slap one of those three.
The kid.
It was the kid that
Oh, okay, cool.
The one that he ended up letting die over the ledge.
My notes here says, slaps the kid Will Smith style.
I have Will Smith slap.
Y'all gotta let that shit go. I'm tired of fucking hearing about it.
I'm sorry.
Did you guys see
Rick James style?
There we go.
Did you guys see
Rick James, bitch?
SNL. It wasn't last week. It was 2 weeks ago, and it had I can't remember his name. He's a comedian, but it was the Saturday after the Sunday Oscars, and he was like, I'm not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. I'm sick of talking about it. Everybody's sick of talking about it. So we're not going to talk about it. And his whole like
was him talking about it in a roundabout way.
The whole the whole monologue. His whole monologue was him not talking about it. Yeah. Didn't mention it at all. But he was just not talking about it.
One of my managers, well, my former manager, we were talking about it after it happened, and. He was like, who gives a shit? It ain't affecting my life at all.
No.
Because everyone was just chattering about it. And he's like, I don't care.
Gerard. Sorry, the comedian who was hosting, Gerard Carmichael.
Ah, nice. I will say, I love the part where there's like one of these mercenaries like licks a knife and you usually see this like standoff and Mark just punches him twice in a row. Pop, pop. Just like, you know, like, I don't have time for this shit. Just quit licking your knife. Oh, I love that. I'm here for it.
I love that part because you know that bad guys will do that in a fight scene in movies. Like, it's like almost like a trope and they're like doing the whole thing. And it's like, you can probably hit them now.
Mm-hmm.
And they laughed in the face of that and did that. And so
Unless you're Bucky. Bucky does the knife tricks and kicks your ass in The Winter Soldier.
But he doesn't lick his knife slowly while he stares someone down.
That was
us to focus on the knife, though. They wanted us to get that mirror effect because they throw it up in the air and then he licks it and then he takes it and like does a perimeter thing on the ground with it. Like
when that guy licks the knife, I was like, well, call me scared and horny because I mean, it was both for sure. Directly ripping off Bill Hader there. it was pretty good stuff.
I really liked that Mark was a bit of a smartass here when he's like, what are we doing here? What are we fighting? Are we dancing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
You saw a little bit of his humor.
Yeah. It felt a little almost Deadpool-y to me.
Yeah.
And then the whole fight scene, you see a lot of bang, bang, shoot 'em ups. I feel like nowadays I liked that it was all knives and that it was like a well choreographed knife fight.
Mm-hmm.
I like that we got Mark fighting. We got to see Mark without Moon Knight. We just saw Mark. We saw a side of him that has been talked about in the show and how he's a mercenary and savage. But like, this was Mark not in the Moon Knight get up, just as himself trying to figure out where Amit's tomb is. He's doing his thing. So it was cool seeing him out of like the Moon Knight persona for me.
I also like the dynamic between Mark and Steven here. We hear Steven saying, don't do it. Don't do it, Mark. You know, and we see him waking up.
He's the friendly top.
Yeah. Aha, there it is.
Oh,
that's what I said a minute ago.
He did. Credit to Clint.
Steven talking to him. It's like his conscience through this whole episode.
Yeah. I think you might be spot on there. And so.
Okay. Can I ask a question real quick? Was Mark. No, I know the answer to this. And so I'm going to say it as a statement, not a question. Mark was a mercenary before he died and Khonshu got him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So he was
a friendly type of mercenary.
Well, he was a mercenary. He's also a military guy and a CIA agent.
Okay.
In the comics.
But you can't be those and also be a mercenary.
But when you get out, you can. You can do whatever the.
Yeah.
You can
okay. Do well, yeah. Want. Okay. So, okay. So he was like trained military. CIA turned mercenary,
yes,
done for hire. Okay, so he kind of had these skills before.
Yes,
Khonshu got a hold of him.
Yes, okay. Yes.
I said as a statement, not a question. Thank you for.
You were wondering, like, did he develop this like fighting style after he became the avatar of Khonshu?
Yes.
No. He already.
I wasn't wondering. I knew already.
Oh, okay, then why'd you ask the fucking question?
I didn't ask. I made a statement.
No, you didn't.
You were asking a question. Just because you didn't have a little inflection at the end doesn't mean it wasn't a question. So yeah,
cool.
But we yeah, also,
please continue.
But we also see the where he wakes up in a taxi and he's kind of just jarred. We also see him waking up with a knife in the dude's stomach and he goes, "Oh my God, Steven, what did you do? And I swear it wasn't me. Then who was it?" So we see already early signs of Jake. So this is it's really really cool. All this in the opening scene, really really awesome awesome stuff. So yeah.
When they showed him in the taxi in the uh-huh. reflection of the mirror, I was like, here's Jake. We're getting Jake.
Yep.
But no. Oh.
Because Jake in the comics was a taxi driver.
Oh.
On the streets trying to find things out. And I was like, oh, okay. Shit, we're getting Jake now. Yeah. But it was.
Not yet.
An old red herring.
Oh, Marvel.
I liked. See what?
I said, oh, Marvel.
Was it a hint, though? Was it
oh, I think it was. It? I think it was a wink.
You think? Probably. Okay.
I do.
I liked that we got the same jumpiness, the same jarring effect that Steven had in the first episode from Mark.
Yeah.
And I liked that it didn't last the whole episode. Like we had it, we got it. It felt justified and like, oh, I like that they're doing this to Mark now.
Yes.
And then, but it didn't continue.
I completely agree with you.
Yes. A whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we also see, got any good ideas? I have a bad one. An eclipse.
Conchu.
I have a bad one. An eclipse.
They have a whole conversation before that, don't they?
Does. You know, he says, you know, what the hell's... says, see how you dare against... see how you fare against Arthur without the... Gosh. Without
the self-healing armor.
Yes, yes. Sorry.
And I think they said that because the self-healing armor, because we see him fucking impaled three times later in the
and
episode.
He's got, like, he's
how
good.
Did he survive that? It's self-healing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why we have that little dialogue here. To exactly. Like, okay, we're going to see this later, but it's okay. Because
and I didn't... armor. Yeah, I didn't write that down, but it stuck out to me as a wait. So the armor self heals, but does the body inside of the armor also? Which I feel like the answer has been
confirmed. Seen, yes,
like obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but like, but okay.
He asks, like, do we have any ideas how to get to this tomb? How you know? He says, I have a bad one. An eclipse. We see an eclipse take over, sending the gods a signal they can't ignore. And we see Arthur immediately say, getting desperate, old bird, keep digging. No matter what happens, keep digging. And we see that they're targeting their avatars now. The last time they did, last time there was a meeting of the gods, they banished me. And yeah, so we're seeing the avatars meet up.
Okay. Not the blue ones.
Not the blue ones.
There ain't
not
no tails going up some weird ass animal.
What the hell movie did you watch?
It wasn't there part where they like connected with an animal and they had like shoved their tail up something or something like that.
I don't think they shoved their tail up anything. I think their tails like intertwined or something.
Ah, well, I like my version better. Mine was on Cinemax though, so I wonder if I was watching.
Yours was on Pornhub.
No, Cinemax used to be the Pornhub back in the day.
Yeah, yeah, that's
that
true,
was the friend. Joke.
You're showing your age.
Oh, sorry.
Softcore.
That was
wasn't
only,
it?
That was the only core I ever
yeah, but we never got that channel. But if like you switch away from it and back to it, the static ain't there until it goes static. So you just up down the channel so you could see the whole porn.
Quick,
you know what I mean?
Quick titty shot.
Yeah, just like bam, and then you get it, and then it's static, and then you go back, and then bam, you get it. And you're like, we're here now. Bam, go back.
Titties.
You know what I mean?
that's what Clinton was going for, that quick titty shot.
Yeah, for real, for real. Give me all the boobs.
It sounds so natural when you say it. Give me all the boobs.
People talk about going to Hooters all the time, and like, I just like the food, and I do like the food.
I
so
do too.
I tell people like I'm going to Hooters, and they're like, "Why do you want to go?" I'm like, "I like the food. It's not about the titties for me. You have to know I'm telling the truth that the food's good because I'm a gay man. I'm going to Hooters for the food."
It's funny because I don't go there anymore just because. It's awkward. You know, like I like the food too, but it's not like, hey, I'm going to Hooters. Like, you know, it just sounds bad, you know, like, I don't know. I don't want to be that.
Not me. I make a proclamation. Okay. I leave work and I'm like, I'm going to Hooters, guys.
I'm going to Hooters.
The witch is there. Their magic does not work on me.
Hear ye, hear ye. I'm going to Hooters. So, and there's these long trumpets that all stand on both sides of you as you walk out.
They roll out a red carpet to my car.
Yeah, exactly.
I have an entourage that goes with me.
He's going to Hooters.
And then all the women in there are like, there's the guy that's here just for the food.
Don't flirt with him. It doesn't matter.
Flirt with him. It doesn't work on him.
Our powers have no hold on this man.
He tips like shit.
He tips.
That's not true.
He tips 15% like a bitch.
Now, if they bring some of them cooks out,
what if they were in those booty shorts?
I would like to be seated in the kitchen, please.
Yes.
Thanks.
Put me beside the hottest chef you got, please.
All right. This is Lacey. No. The hottest. No, I'm not here for the Hooters. I'm here. Yeah. Anyway.
For the banana hammock.
We need to start a restaurant called Banana Hammocks. Just literally. Oh, that'd be great. Clinton's like, the food's not that great, but I'm there for the atmosphere.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the vibe.
I got that from Friends.
It really gets me up out of my head.
Oh, my God. All right, Amy. Friends,
when Phoebe's dating Paul Rudd, and I forget what his name is on the show.
What is the deal with the Friends references lately?
She changes her name to Princess Consuela Banana Hammock, then he changes his name to Crap Bag and makes her introduce him to everybody.
He's like,
"This is my boyfriend, Mr. Bag." He's like, "What's my first name? Crap." No, that's riveting. Doesn't ring a bell. Okay. All right. Khonshu is an asshole.
Yes.
We're calling it right now. Khonshu is an asshole. However,
is he a fuckboy? He seems like a fuckboy.
He's definitely a fuckboy. He's there to do his thing.
He's there to drink Paps and have his sideways hat.
He looks phenomenal.
Smoking a cig.
He looks phenomenal, though. And I like that they have him out in the open. They're like,
in the light.
In the daylight.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I didn't expect. We haven't seen him in the day yet.
Exactly.
This is CG, guys. And we are proud of it. And he looks fantastic.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here for that. Mm-hmm. When Steven calls him a stupid pigeon, also here for that because he was a bit of a turd.
Yeah. He's a dick.
Yeah.
But he's not wrong. When we're in the temple,
oh no, he's not
calling shit out. He's that friend that's on Facebook that's like, just because I'm honest, doesn't mean I'm an asshole. I'm like, yeah, you're an asshole. I mean, you're honest, but you're an asshole.
There's ways to go about it.
So many people. Oh yes, that drives me nuts. People are like, some people can't handle me because I'm just honest. I'm like, well, you're probably a dickhead. You could approach things differently.
Yeah,
like, come on.
There's a way to be. Gosh, what's the word I'm looking for?
Sensitively honest.
I'm not thinking trite. I don't know. There's ways to be tactful with your approach for sure, and I agree. It's just don't be a dick just because it's the truth. No,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
You've seen those posts that people put up. Oh my God,
it does not excuse you from being a piece of shit.
Yes, exactly.
So just learn the difference because there is one. So
be genuine. People are humans. Period. Whether you're being honest or not, you can hurt people's feelings.
Exactly.
Be mindful of that.
Yep.
Can't you?
Gosh. Bless you.
He let someone die and he was like, I thought he'd talk. He was like, okay.
Yeah.
Carrying on.
He literally went deuces and just kept going. Didn't even stop.
And his lax positioning, like in the shots he's in, like there's a big thing going on Twitter, a guy that shared a tweet that was like, is Khonshu ... where he's like leaned up against the wall and he's got a limp wrist.
Just because the limp wrist, everyone.
Yes, like, yes, but also that scene where he's like talking to Mark before he blips out, and he just leaned up against that. He's sitting on that car with like his hand to the side, and he's just chilling,
just real relaxed.
Like, I'm here for business, like
I'm still saying,
not,
he's a fuckboy. Like,
any. Oh, I was gonna say redneck, but I feel like that. Like any person leaned up against the car. You guys know that Marvel movies are good because they have good actors in them.
You're doing thank the you. Thing again.
Oh my god.
Yeah, thank no, you.
It's over.
Okay.
But Khonshu doesn't give he kind of redeems himself later because he does sacrifice his livelihood to do what they need to do.
What is his livelihood?
His livelihood, like he's in the realm of the living right now, and then he gets turned to stone and can't communicate anymore. So okay. I would say that's his livelihood, right?
Okay. I heard it as like his business.
he's giving up his existence in that realm.
Yeah.
Because he starts the eclipse to get their signal, and he says after that, they'll turn me to stone if I do something like this again. And then he don't give two shits.
He does it again.
He's giving zero fucks on either side in this
episode. Because he knows the greater good that he is doing. So it's hard not to kind of care for the guy, too. Maybe not care, but also, maybe not, I don't think care is the right word. Side with him. You know, you can definitely side with him.
Especially in the temple when Harrow manipulates the shit out of him.
That
also
sucked.
This... Are we at the temple scene yet? We're almost to the temple scene. Right?
We're about to walk in the hallway. But
okay, let's.
I have there. But I have a science fact first because I know you guys love those.
All right, when guys, here we go.
I thought you weren't a science teacher.
Ooh.
I'm not.
I think you said that earlier.
I said it in the Patreon.
Oh well, go listen to that because.
Okay, I know.
Don't believe anything this woman says now.
I know some things. Oh my god, I know some things about science, and I would like to teach you. Was that a solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse that happened in the episode?
That was a solar eclipse.
That was a lunar eclipse.
What is a solar eclipse, Clinton?
Isn't a solar... This is how my brain works. Solar sun is getting eclipsed.
By what?
The moon.
Okay. Brandon, what is a lunar eclipse?
Wouldn't it be the opposite?
No, I think I screwed up because I think it's the moon and the earth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I messed up. My bad.
Is it a solar eclipse?
It's solar.
It is a solar eclipse. Yep. And then people will say, like Brandon said, that it's the opposite, that the sun eclipses the moon. But if that happened, we would all burn to death because the sun is very hot.
That's what I felt. I felt a little tinge of burning.
So. Yeah, she is. She's banging.
Yeah. She works at Hooters.
But no, a solar eclipse is when the moon goes in front of the sun.
Yep.
A lunar eclipse is when the earth's shadow goes over the moon.
That's it. Okay. As soon as I was like, fuck, I think I fucked it up. All right. Cool.
So that's okay. That's okay because a lot of people do fuck it up. But
you know
okay.
why I knew it was a solar eclipse? Because we just had one like 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I was standing outside for that at work.
With I was my too.
Patients.
And I cannot tell you how many times I was at the beach in South Carolina and we played Total Eclipse of the Heart. I think maybe 75,000 times. It was amazing.
Oh,
sounds grand.
Yeah.
So he walks through this hall and I love Stephen. He goes, oh my God, we're inside the Great Pyramid.
Lots of mirrors in this episode. Conveniently placed.
And we're in the Great Pyramid of Giza, Stephen says excitedly.
My God.
Did you feel Stephen on another level here?
Okay, yes. But also, that's not what the Pyramid of Giza looks like on the inside. But, okay.
Have you been there?
No, but I've been on the Googs, and the Googs said no.
Believe everything on the internet, Emmy. That's what you're telling the kids. Not Marvel Studios, which is based on fact. You're telling the Googs.
That's true.
The Googs.
You're on a Marvel podcast. You better drink the fucking Kool-Aid. You hear me?
Or get off this podcast.
There's a cult in this episode. Like, I don't know if that joke is appropriate.
It's not a joke.
We drink the Kool-Aid before we go live every single time, Emmy.
Have you missed some doses?
I must have.
That's why we're on the same cycle.
That's right.
I was saying that because Steven, when he's geeking out about being inside of the Pyramid of Giza, like that drew more attraction for me. I was just like,
I knew it. Okay. I knew your lady boner would go off then. I really did. So we also see Yatzel, goddess of music and love.
Yahtzee!
She rolled five fives. And we see goddess, was it music and love? I think that was what it was. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I wrote that down right. And we see Horus. There's a bunch of avatars that appear.
The god of war and sky. Mm-hmm. We see
this is why I didn't write Isis, it down.
Isis, the god of
you say Yeezy?
Yeah, the god of great rap music.
Ooh.
Isis, the god of healing and magic. Osiris, Jesus, the god of the dead, and Tefnut, the god of rainfall.
Tefnut, I wouldn't have guessed god of rainfall.
Well, that makes a little bit of sense. Oh, skeet, 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 skeet.
Motherfucker! there are some people saying online that you can see Bast here.
Where?
When it first shows the open tomb, it was a statue.
Okay.
Panther god.
Yeah, well, that would make sense because you only see five, and then if you count Amit, that's six.
Amit.
Amit, that's six. And Khonshu, that's seven. So we're missing a couple.
Yeah, well, we suck.
No.
So go on, Brandon. You need to go ahead and explain the scene because I want to talk about it.
Well, we see that
because everyone that's listening to this hasn't seen the episode, apparently.
Yeah, you've been. All right, you know what? I'm going to keep my notes brief. You know, we hear that Khonshu's been banished.
People say things.
You guys are both assholes. You know what? I won't say it. I won't do it.
Avatars are talking and shit.
Yeah, exactly. All right, avatars talk to each other and shit, and Khonshu's like, hey, yo, this dude's a piece of shit, and
why don't you believe me?
And then Arthur's like, no.
Forget about it.
Do you see what he's picking on this guy who's not all that well? And Khonshu's like, yeah, that's true, but fuck him. Can you not
see? No, that was Mark there.
Oh,
he says it's not
no,
true.
No, he said, reveal yourself. Are you unwell? And he's like, I am unwell.
And that was Mark, not Khonshu.
I know. Before that, though, when I was doing the talking, I was saying that was Khonshu that was like, yeah. I picked the guy with the kind of the three personalities. Yeah, I did it. All right.
Yeah, I did it.
But that doesn't change the fact that this guy's a crazy fuck. All right. Can we talk about that? All right.
You can't believe anything the guy says.
He's parking his car out front like he owns the place. And we need you. Yeah. This is what you get. You're going to, Emmy, with your bug eyes. No. You said you made fun of me, so you got this.
We did this, Emmy. We did this. And you got to embrace it.
You
embrace
it. I was being an asshole. Weird. Because Clinton emboldened me to be an asshole. And now I regret it.
No. Listen, you're an adult and you don't get to say other people made you do something.
No, I didn't you're say responsible. You made me. I said you emboldened me.
Wow.
Oh, could you guys hear that eye roll?
God, you could hear it from a mile away.
It's basically you're saying it's Clinton's fault. I was an asshole.
No, I'm not saying that. That was completely my fault. And I'm sorry. I was trying to be funny and it backfired on me. So
can I just do one thing real quick though from the scene? I call for judgment of Arthur Harrow. I love his voice. It's so good. I can't even do it justice, but he literally just like when he changes and he's like, he must be punished. He's so like so theatrical Oscar Isaac's performances. And it's so wonderful. I know we touched on it a little bit earlier, but it's wonderful. He's basically accusing Arthur Harrow of, hey, dude, you're
going to release exactly what he was going to do.
Exactly. You're going to release Amit. What annoys me is all these gods are immediately like, this kind of annoyed me. I'm not going to lie. They're like,
same. I know where you're going.
Khonshu, you stupid son of a bitch. Like, that's literally how they treat him the whole time. Like, you make no sense. And like, Arthur's like, I know there's no such thing. If walking through sand or playing in sand, I don't remember what he said, but something with sand is a crime.
I took a dump over there in the sand. Is that a crime?
Yeah. If taking a dump in the sand, then there would be so many cats going to hell. You know, like it's just like, it's so weird. It's so.
Khonshu is the Cinderella of the sisters if the gods are the sisters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It really is. Like, they just literally, like, all right, Khonshu. All right. Also, all right. You know, like, flipping them off.
Brandon's,
like,
yeah, Brandon's flipping them
off. Yeah, like, it's like, literally, fuck off, Khonshu. Don't talk.
Also, if you're a god and Khonshu, the way he pops up everywhere, has no one fucking seen Hero doing this and digging up Ahmet's tomb? This
no is one.
Where I had an issue.
Yeah, there's.
They haven't seen this fucking happening. The gods have not been aware of this.
And
happening.
Something as severe of a threat as Ahmet being released, wouldn't you want to investigate that just a little bit instead of just immediately? Oh, it's Khonshu. Fuck up. Like, I'm. Where would he come out of nowhere with that accusation? Yes. Like,
I
understand, but okay, this is serious. I know it's Khonshu, but we need to take this seriously. We need to dive a little bit deeper. They're just like a. Fuck off, dude. And I just feel like...
Because...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Because they're like, that's a very serious allegation. Mm-hmm. And then it's like a right. moment of talking, and then they're like, oh, your avatar is broken. Oh, he has committed no crime.
But he hurt himself here because he snapped on... He tried to hit Harrow.
He tried to...
Which Smith. Didn't help. It didn't help.
Tried to... Rick
was
James
it Harrow?
He tried to punch Arthur Harrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which didn't help his case. It didn't help his case.
And he's like, there will be no violence in this chamber. It's like,
also, I'm tired. I'm just going to say it here and I'm going to get it off my chest.
Do it.
I'm tired of the MCU trope.
We cannot interfere. We don't
cannot interfere. That shit annoys the fuck out of me. You're gods. What are you doing then? You're supposed to be over humanity, right? Like, you're gods, but we don't interfere with humanity. This is an Eternals thing. And it's a way they explain off the Thanos thing. Like, I'm just tired of, like, we don't interfere. Then why are you gods? Like, what are you doing then? Just hanging out? Like, y'all having tea parties up here doing your thing? Like,
we're going to Hooters is. We're going to Hooters. So
I mean, if you were a god, can you blame them?
Isn't their whole duty to, like, oversee humanity?
Okay, but just like,
but we don't interfere. What do you interfere with then?
Okay, here? But take a step back right now. Just right now.
Okay,
take a step back from Earth and look at it from a god's perspective. Do you want to interfere with that shit?
Well, then what is so what's the purpose of a god?
Well, probably to interfere with that shit, but it seems like a lot of work right now, especially.
Yeah, I think they're like, nah, brah, not for me.
Like it's yeah. COVID. It's COVID season. I'm not getting near this
maybe,
shit.
Yeah, maybe next. Yeah. Can't go within 6 light years of that planet. Yeah,
exactly. that planet got the COVID.
Got the phone to replay.
Jeez, man. Jeez.
I hate that. I feel like it's lazy.
Oh, it is. It's lazy writing. It is lazy writing.
I completely agree. However, I put myself in the god's shoes and it's like, listen, that sounds like because in my daily life, I'm always like, that's a tomorrow problem.
But you got to work and help kids. That's uh-huh. your job. That's your yeah, job and, to and, go do.
And usually, I say that the paperwork aspect is a tomorrow problem, which bit me in the ass today, but that's fine. It's cool.
But it's the same kind of comparison. Like, their yes. job is to help.
Yeah.
And sometimes helping is that's a next century problem. That's a next millennia problem.
But which should also give us more respect for Khonshu, because he's trying to do what the other gods won't. He's trying to stop this thing.
Yeah. Okay.
I like it. He's okay. I do. Okay.
He's brash as fuck, but he's at least trying to do something.
I think that actually makes the writing a little bit more. It's fair. Not just straight up Eternals. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
got a little bit of. Oh, I like that. Okay.
And Khonshu, I said before, he's an asshole, but at least he's a good asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's honest. He's just honest. He's out here trying to do everyone's work. Yeah, and he's that honest. Discuss. Like, if people don't like it, but so, he's honest.
But we also hear the words of Arthur being a dick, saying, "Don't trust the word of a shamed god. Khonshu is unhinged and his servant unwell. This is a man who does not even know his name. I have no idea how many personalities this guy has."
That made me feel so bad for him.
It did.
Then when Mark
and the way that he broke, The way that he tried to hit him.
Mm-hmm.
Mark was about to Will Smith that bitch and
Rick James. Stop. Will Smith stuff.
Rick James.
Ugh.
Hey, Chris Rock. What does Five Fingers say to this thing? Slap.
Mark was about
tired.
Your face smack is tired, fucker.
That bitch.
I'll fight you.
And
I'll slap you off there.
Arthur.
Oh, fuck you.
Arthur would have deserved it. I don't know what just happened in the conversation that y'all just had, but I think I made my point.
You did. Amy, well said.
When
what did
Mark,
I say? What did
Mark,
I say?
When Mark say? When Mark comes to, though, I felt really bad because he was like, yes, I am unwell.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, and he said, I need help. And that like
that's
broke me for a second. I was like, he knows he's not well, mm-hmm. But he's trying to do the best he can. And he's trying to stop this.
That's, and Steven knew as well.
Yes. Like, and knows. I love this Marvel. I think their whole goal of this show was really to explore DID and mental health. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to get more into it, but all the shit that annoys me about this, like we don't interfere and stuff, but like this really gets me because like I've said in previous episodes, I've been around people that deal with these kind of things. And I have had someone dealing with similar things that is like, I just want to be normal. I need help.
I just want to be well.
And that breaks my heart because they can't help it. Mark can't help it. He can't help that he's dealing with this, but he's still trying to do the right thing.
Yep.
And that is huge to me in this series. Like, he's not doing it the best way. Steven is probably the more moral guy, mm-hmm. of the two of them. But it even showed here that Mark is trying to do the right thing, but he knows he's not well and he's not handling it the best way, but he knows he's not well and he's not healthy and he needs help.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still trying to do the right thing.
He's not,
and that stood out to me heavily in this episode.
He's not crazy. He's just a little unwell. I know right now you can't tell, but just stay a while. And when you think of me, or when you,
then you'll see
a different side of me. Yeah. I made up that poem.
They should have played that song in this because that,
oh my God, the
spot on.
I would cry if that happened. I'd
be a different side.
I would clutch my Matchbox 20 pearls. I would just be so happy. I really would. Oh, right. Man. Yes, Amy.
First of all, I was going to say when we were still on a serious note.
Yes.
That like I, as someone who is particular and does not like to ask for help, asking for help can be like a huge task in and of itself.
Oh, yes.
Like get yourself to the spot point where on. You are accepting the fact like this is not how I want to be. This is not even if it's a task like a work task where like you have been given something and there's a deadline and you can't do it all in the deadline.
Right.
Like asking for help is a huge, huge, huge step for a lot of people. And so, especially with mental health, I think like recognizing I need help, I need to ask for help it's a very humbling experience.
Oh yeah.
Like I can't do this on my own. I need someone else to do something for me.
Agreed. And I can talk about this shit forever, I think, but mm-hmm. it makes you vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And when you're vulnerable, if you're a person that struggles with these things, not to this extent have I struggled, but my anxiety and depression have gotten into very dark places in the past. And I can guarantee you, I've played out the scenario. So I've played out every scenario that I think I'm going to go to. Even when people want help, I've played out that scenario, like for myself. Like if I ask someone for help, then I am weak and it makes me look less than.
Which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes, I know it's not true, but it goes back to what Amy said is like, that's a task within itself because you've played out that scenario in your mm-hmm. head. And if you ask for help, then you, then you lost. You're like, I'm not strong enough. I can't do this on my own. And I look weak to everyone around me. That's just that mental conversation you have with yourself when you're in those dark places.
Yeah.
And this show's really highlighting these kind of things. And that's one reason I love this show so much, the depth of those types of things. There's a lot of fun and action and all that shit. But at the end of it, it's like, man, they're really tackling these serious issues that people mm-hmm. deal with.
Which I know that Clinton has spent more than a couple nights at my house. And I wonder, Clinton, can you tell that I'm a person who absolutely hates asking for help?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is something that I struggle with daily. I do not like asking for help. And I have analyzed it myself, and I should probably ask for the help of a therapist to analyze it, because obviously I'm not doing a very good job, because I hate asking for help.
And it's I do too, but I think it comes back to
being vulnerable.
Being vulnerable, mm-hmm. and
for me.
I could get into some heavy stuff here, but basically I think a lot of it comes from, I've been weak before and I've been embarrassed by it, and I don't want to be that weak again. Mm-hmm. And I don't want people to see that side of me again. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to do that again. So I will just,
you will put on a brave face and, or put on a mask.
I'll suffer through it.
Yeah,
I'll suffer through it and be alone. Before I let someone try to help me, because I'm a strong person and I don't need people to see otherwise.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you're shattering inside, and that's no way to live. And I can tell you that it's worth reaching out for help. I've done it. I lean on friends and stuff. Now I have a therapist. I've checked myself into a place for a week for anxiety and depression when it was out of control, and it changed my life. And so though you may have played out everything in your mind about how it could go, I promise you the relief you'll get from getting that help is way better than what you've ever played out in your head.
Well said.
And it's okay. It's not a shameful thing to go through. Any physical ailment we have, we go to the doctor, and like, you wear a cast if your leg or arm is broken. Like, just because you can't see what's happening in the brain doesn't mean you don't need help. It's the same thing. It's okay. And there's tons of us dealing with it, and we're all in this together. I learned that when I went to that place that I checked myself into. This was a few years ago, and I was having a really hard time, and I got there and I was like, damn, I'm not alone. Like, there are a lot of people dealing with the same shit, but in your head, you'll play out everything that you're by yourself and no one gets it. Mm-hmm. But I promise people get it. Yep. And we're all in this together. So like, back to this show, like, I love that they're showing this vulnerability, and I didn't expect it from Mark here when he answers what the accusations were.
I thought it was going to be Steven. I thought it was going to be Steven, and
me too.
And Mark was the one, I am unwell, in a very vulnerable place in front of all these people. And it really great, very well said, Clinton, incredibly said. Just what a beautiful message from Marvel Studios, but also what a beautiful message you just brought to this podcast. And I could not.
Thank you. I just don't want people to be dealing with this shit like alone.
You're not alone.
And I will give a lot of credit to students that I have right now, to Gen Z as a whole. Like, they are all about that mental health shit. Like, they are all on it. And like, I have students who come in like late every once in a while, and they'll be like, I absolutely zero shame in their voice. Just completely I was late today because I had therapy. And my therapist is on vacation for a week. Who am I supposed to talk to? And like, they talk so openly about their mental health.
It's awesome.
That I do feel like there is a tide changing where it's not going to be.
It's not a stigma anymore.
There's not a stigma. Yeah. There's not going to be anything shameful behind it, because there shouldn't be. Because like you said, if you've got a broken arm, you're going to do something about it. Like,
yeah.
If you have something going on, you need to You need to seek help.
And life's not right. fucking easy for anyone. Like, mm-hmm. we got to stop. Like, I feel like advertisements and the mindset I grew up in was like, grow up, get married, have a home, have that like picket fence lifestyle. Like, just life isn't black and white, and life mm-hmm. is a gray place. Like, it's a gray area for anyone. Mm-hmm. So if you have trouble navigating it, it's okay. Cause there's I feel all- like everyone has had a, have a trouble, have had trouble navigating it, but some people put on a better face than others.
Yep.
And when yeah. that comparison comes in of how other people are doing it, that's a quicksand thing too. Like, you'll lose yourself in trying to compare yourself to other people. Like, life is gray. It's not a black and white thing. Life's not easy sometimes, and that's okay. And there's people out there that can help, and there's people around you that are dealing with the same shit. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad that it's being destigmatized. Even in my generation, it's not as big of a stigma as it was the generation before me. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad of that.
Which I feel like that leads into, okay, we're diving into this. Like, toxic positivity is another form of that, I feel like, where everybody's like, oh, well, look at the bright side. But like, sometimes your feelings are just valid.
Yeah.
And like, you can be upset about something, and that's totally fine. And toxic positivity is a thing. The whole good vibes only is great in theory, but like, sometimes there's bad vibes and you can recognize those, and that's okay.
I see a lot. Sorry.
I just want to remain positive. I know that's, you're invalidating what someone else is feeling. Yeah.
There's a group I'm in called Wow, Thanks, I'm Cured. And they just share shit like that all the time about where people post that stuff. It's like, because that kind of thing's relative to the person.
Yeah.
I agree.
And it's what you're going through is relative to your experience.
Yes. And like it's a good mindset to have, but also it's not healthy to only be like, well, you know, like, this shit thing happened to me, but like, I also have this, this, and this going on, so I should be happy. Why do I feel sad? It, like, that will put you in a spiral. Like, yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. It's not realistic.
It is not.
And so, going back to the episode, I am going to go back just a wee bit and say, when the portal opened up for Mark to go to meet with the gods, did anybody else think, oh shit, that's not a portal to the gods, that's the portal to Diagon Alley?
No.
Nope. Cool. Just me.
No one.
Cool.
I love when Conchi was like, oh, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Which was hinting at him coming through Mark.
Yeah.
And also when they summon Arthur, he just pops in.
Yeah, Arthur literally just walks in
the cane or anything.
He just walks in the front door and he's like, oh yeah, this piece of shit. Let me tell you how he's a piece of shit. Like, I don't know. Like, hey, bring Arthur in.
Arthur last episode. Now I'm starting to hate Arthur because he was really pointing out
manipulative.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys know? I don't think we've talked about it on the episode. Do you know how Ethan Hawke was hired for this role?
No.
Emmy?
No.
Oscar Isaac was hired for the role and was at a coffee shop and saw Ethan Hawke there and talked to him, and they basically became buddies, and he was like, hey, I'm doing this show and they're looking for the villain. I think you should play the villain in this show. Like, they just met at a coffee shop, and
that's amazing.
They tasked Oscar with finding the Arthur Harrow of the show, and him and Ethan Hawke hit it off at a coffee shop, and he asked Ethan Hawke to be in it.
And Hawke is doing really, really well. I think this was a good casting by Mr. Isaac. I will just say that.
So Oscar Isaac, yeah, he picked.
What a cool
Ethan Hawke.
That's awesome.
And it wasn't like going out auditions and doing that. He saw him at a coffee shop and he talked, and he was like, join this project with me. So
where are these celebrity coffee shops where, you know, celebrities just like casually meet up and are like
Hooters.
Hooters Cafe.
Hooters Coffee Shop.
Hooters Cafe.
Yeah. You just get your coffee and you're... Never mind. So it's a hoot. Yeah, it is. So we see sorry, I can't. Gosh, well, we talked a lot, and I'm trying to find my notes.
I'm sorry.
You asshole.
Let me make fun of something else.
Yeah, exactly. But that blah blah blah. He's on trial. This is about how dangerous he is. He committed no offense. This matter has been concluded. Like, that's how quick it is. He's committed no offense. Matter's been concluded. Like, what?
I don't understand how they haven't seen it.
Yeah, and they all leave.
Like, what are they doing as gods?
They all just peace out. And then the one, she's like, hey, there is another way. There's a location hidden from the gods. Sinfu.
No, Ron, there must be another way.
He's going to sacrifice himself.
They're talking about the sarcophagus and the black market, and find it and you'll find your tomb and Sinfu's sarcophagus. And he goes to a random juicer and he's like, hey, dude, you're selling juice.
You must know where this.
You must
be on the black market.
There's some stretches here on this one. Let's just be real. Let's call a spade a spade. And he's like, you know, what the hell are you doing? You know, come with me. I'll help you find what you need. What's the plan?
That's Layla.
And
she just shows up again too. But at least we had warning this time,
right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm taking photos. I'm going to be joining you soon. I'm going to be in Egypt.
You're going back home.
I'm showing up to save you once again.
And yeah, let's give our... And we see that they're on this little boat that's just drifting off. And it's like, let's give our shit a rest so we can... And I love it. I'm here for me and anyone else who dies if Baro succeeds. Or excuse me, Haro exceeds. That's autocorrect. Thanks. Baro. It's autocorrect. I swear.
That's why paper's better, Brandon.
You don't even write notes on paper.
Evil.
Yeah, I do. No, you don't. Not for the podcast, but I do. I used to write notes.
Oh, episode 2 was so long ago.
And then I became enlightened.
You're a fuck.
I think we've said fuck more in this episode than we've ever said in one episode.
That explicit warning, we earned it, that explicit warning. So.
It's fitting because we didn't even talk about the fact that they said fuck in the last episode.
Yes.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
People think they did.
I don't think they said
it. When he's like, shut the fuck up. When he's kicking the mirror. Mm. Because he does say, shut the... And then it cuts.
I didn't hear fuck.
Oh.
The glass was breaking.
I feel like that would have been something that I caught, but also I could see with my sailor-ass mouth how it could be something that I didn't catch at all. Because
yeah, fuck is like saying and in a sentence for me.
Yeah. Vocabulary.
Yeah. We also hear about Mogart's. His collection is vast, and you know, talking about Stephen, you could have told. And this is my favorite scene from this entire episode. You could have told me about Stephen. For what it's worth, I had it under control until very recently. And she says we could have handled it together. Well, that's not really what I do, is it? I've never been able to really talk about anything real. Yes, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have. A little too late for that now. But I love how she said we could have handled it. Like, you're not alone. There are people here to care for you. And in that vulnerable state again. Beautiful messaging. I almost teared up at this part. I almost teared up because she was so... She was just what you want.
Understanding.
You just want to... That's what you want out of a friend, a spouse, you know, whoever you're confiding in. That's what you want. And there are people like that. And it was just such a beautiful thing because when you do feel alone and you realize, no, you're not. And he kind of has that realization like, yeah, maybe I should have. But, you know, like it was just beautiful storytelling.
I had trouble here. I did not like this scene.
Get out of here.
Really?
I thought it was jarring. I felt like the writing was choppy here because we get the intimate moment, but then it's like immediately back to like.
Our chase for Amit's tomb.
Yeah, it was that, and then it was also like Mark gets vulnerable for a second. Like, Layla spills that out, and then Mark gets vulnerable, and then he's like, this reminds me of our wedding. And then it's like, okay, but we can't talk about this. Let's move on. No. Like, I was just like, come on. Like, we're here. You got us here in this vulnerable moment, and then it's like it didn't happen for a second. It was just...
I think that was... Sorry. I mean, you go.
Sure.
No, you go.
Okay. She brought divorce papers to London for him.
London.
Like, I feel like that's where that's coming from. It's like well, we're done now. Like, divorce papers have been written up. Like,
but they got intimate, and then it was like, oh, but we're done now. Like, how do you transition like that? Like, think of a real life scenario where you would do that. I don't feel like it didn't feel genuine to me when you're having a moment like that and just immediately cut it off and be like, like, they could have slowly transitioned better, in my opinion here.
I also feel it was a defense mechanism for Mark. He was very like, you know what? I don't want to go into this. I don't want to explore this right now. You know,
fair. I mean, he does say earlier that he don't like to get into, like, he has walls almost.
Yeah, exactly. And just to my psyche, when we get into kind of this is very raw and real, but when my wife is like, hey, what's wrong? I'm like, I'm tired. Or, hey, I'm fine. You know, I'm it's kind of like the asking for help, what Emmy was talking about. I will tell you right to your face, I'm good. You know, and I don't, and if you start prying, like, yeah, okay, well, that's fine. But, you know, okay. You know, it's just like, let's move
more
on.
Walls go up.
Yeah, if you start let's to, move on. And
when, but he let the walls down is my point.
He did, but as soon, sometimes you do. And sometimes when you feel that they're down, you're like, no, build them back up real quick.
Yeah.
And I've done that. I have. And when I heard Mark saying this is why it was one of my favorite scenes. Because when he said, all right, well, it's too late for that. Let's move on. Same shit. I have done the exact same thing. And I'm
like, you're dipping in that well a little bit. Yeah. I got to get out of here.
Okay. I need you to stop. Yeah. Because it's starting to hurt. What we're talking about.
Yeah, I feel this bad feeling.
That's true. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's true. Okay.
You're touching on a pain point.
You've changed my mind. All right. You've changed my mind.
Cool, guys. That's what we do. We learn and grow.
the best piece of dialogue in this scene for me was I had it under control until very recently. Mm-hmm. Because that, I feel like a lot of people with any kind of mental health issues, it's like, okay, like up until recently, like, I was doing fine. I was very functional. And then something hits the fan.
Right.
And it's like, I know I need to ask for help now.
What's the hair that it's the feather that breaks the camel's back? It's like you stack and stack and like, I can handle this. And I can handle this. And I can handle this. And then there's the one thing. And then it just crumbles. And you're like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Because I was handling everything fine.
Yes. And then it's, rock bottom.
But also, I think this also hints at the split of his personalities.
Oh, yeah.
It's like he had it under control until maybe Conchu was involved or like recently.
Something happened.
Stuff changed. And I think something has happened.
We're going to see that. We're going to have to see where that played out.
Which is why Layla is concerned. Like she was trying to call him. He wouldn't respond. Like he just left. Like he was gone.
Yep.
And that was when the Steven persona was born and built this life. Like something's happened recently. And I think they're going to explore that.
And so obviously they talk about getting their story straight. We see them go to these men on horses. You know, she meets up with this guy, Beck. It's been a while, right this way. And we
Anton Mogart.
Yeah. And Madripoor. We hear about Madripoor. Where did we last hear from Madripoor? Falcon and the Winter Soldier, my friends.
Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Emmy?
No.
Swear to God, Emmy. Don't you.
That's not the name of the show.
Just because they can't see you flipping me off doesn't mean I don't see it.
And I can see it, Emmy, and it's very offensive.
Yeah,
it's very offensive because I don't know if you're flipping me off too. There was two hands up. So it was one for Brandon, one for me.
Two birds, one stone.
exactly.
Two birds and Emmy Stone.
Yeah. She's going to pot her onion. So, we see that.
That smoked Kevin.
Oh, man. We see, obviously, there's this huge collection. And, you know, he talks about this collector preserving history is something that's very important to him. I really thought we were going to see Sharon here. I really did. When I heard Madripoor and I heard the collector of items and stuff like that, I was like,
really?
I really thought, ooh, is this how we're going to kind of intertwine it with the greater MCU? Is this going to be a Sharon Carter thing?
There are people that I've saw speculation online about that. They were like, I thought Sharon was going to be here.
Okay.
A lot of people have said this. You're not alone in that.
Okay. Yeah. My wife and I both were thinking that. So, yeah.
No, not me.
As soon as I heard
Madripoor. I didn't.
Yeah. As soon as I heard Madripoor in collection, I was like, Sharon's here.
I didn't put that together that she would be there, but I put it together that I believe that Sharon has bought things from Layla for sure.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that. I do agree with that. And we also see, you know, hey, you know, hey, you'll need to take a look. And Steven, he asks for Steven's help and he starts putting constellations together. We see that, you know, give me the body and piss off. I love that there's still a struggle between who has the body and you are the worst. Take that piece and fold it over like this. And now you have to match these stars. And basically, what are you doing? Oh, shit. And then shit hits the fan. Guns start blasting. Moon Knight appears. Mr. Knight appears. I'm not going to do this scene justice because it's one of those you have to watch the show. But yeah. God, Moon Knight, what a badass, throwing his Moon Knight rings. I'm assuming that's what they're called. Not batarangs, but Moon Knight rings.
No, they're just crescent blades.
I like Moon Knight rings. I think that sounds better.
That's, feel like you're copying that.
I feel like you need to fuck off. I'm going to say fuck again.
There's a lot here. So we got Anton Mogart, who was supposed to be Minuteman.
Minuteman!
Midnight Man. I said Minuteman.
I was about to say Minuteman. Ooh. Minuteman is what they called me in high school.
Midnight Man.
Okay, we both know you weren't fucking in high school.
Hey. No. Yeah, well, still.
But this is Gaspar Ulliel. Am I saying his name right?
I have no idea.
That is how I would say it.
Ulliel. Yeah, that's how I would say it. He passed away in January from a skiing accident. I feel like they would have explored more of Midnight Man. I don't think he was originally going to be killed off here, in my opinion. I think there would have been a lot more to this character. And they dedicated this episode in the credits to him, which I thought was a great touch. But so we see that he was a friend of Layla's. They have history, but we don't really get a clear picture of what that history was. Or did I miss something?
No, we didn't. It was more like, okay. Hey, I thought I could trust you, but I knew I couldn't. And this is why you've shown that I can't trust you. And remember that one time that I couldn't trust you, too.
You know
what I mean? It's very like, put your own pieces together of the puzzle.
Well, and there's also kind of a flirtatious vibe.
There is.
She knows his first name is Anton. Like, she says Anton later. And then there's a flirty vibe, and then when she introduces
her husband,
yeah, he gets very cold, doesn't like shake his hand or anything, so,
and then points to Mark to explain why they want to see the sarcophagus.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what he has to say. Is, you know, like,
Mark's like, I just want to look at
I'd
it.
I'd like to get a closer look.
Want to look at it. And then he's like,
funny guy.
And then he
even, I do love
sorry he says, I was so ready to make peace with you, Layla. So there is that backstory. Later. Yeah, exactly. There's that backstory of, hey, I was ready.
Which calls back to earlier, she said her name wouldn't be popular when she came back.
In Cairo, yeah.
In Cairo. But I love the way they play it off when they both go look at the sarcophagus of Sir, what's his name? Starts with an S.
Senfu.
Yep.
Senfu. And she's like, I'll handle it. Get Steven, basically. She walks away and he's talking to himself and she's like, he's praying.
That's awesome.
Which was a great cover, honestly, because how are you going to argue with that? Like, if you're looking up talking, you're praying, especially in this culture. Like,
oh, yeah. Well, and we see, obviously, here comes our buddy Khonshu, you know, summon the suit. What are you waiting for? And we see, like,
all of us watching it, we're like, fucking put on the suit.
Yep, exactly. And then we see just amazing shot for shots. And we see that struggle still with Mark and Steven, where Steven is pleading with Mark to stop it, you know, and basically, give me the body, Mark. You know, let's all calm down. Let's all chill the F out. We see Mr. Knight come in, and he's basically just, hey, what the hell? And then he gets impaled. And he gets he gets impaled and he's like, okay, take the body. I bust out.
Yeah, I don't know what Steven was thinking. Like, in this point, like, don't do it, Mark. Like, what do you mean? Like, we're in the middle of battle.
I think honestly we can say that he has a friendly personality. You know, he's
he does, but he's like it's friendly, too late for that.
He's the right friendly here. Type, like, I guess, is what I would say.
Maybe Stephen be the approach and Mark be the delivery of execution if it gets there. Mm-hmm. But like when you're in the middle of the battle and there's fighting and bullets, like Stephen, shut up. Like we're here now. Like you're not going to be able to stop and reverse and be like, let's just talk about it. We're okay. Here. Bullets are flying.
Okay, bullets are flying. You're completely right. But you see Moon Knight and you see his eyes widen whenever Mark is, whenever Stephen is like.
Yes, when he transitions back to Mr. Knight. Yes.
No. Because he starts as Moon Knight and then he's like choking a dude out and Stephen is like, that's enough. I'm done. Like, stop. And you see Moon Knight's eyes widen in surprise that Stephen is able to take over the body.
No, I think it's, I didn't take that. I didn't take it that way. I thought it was like Stephen's present right now because Stephen's not usually violent. Stephen's not usually around for that. Like he's not, why would he be here right now? And he's in his head. Like, he didn't expect Stephen to be in this moment and he takes over quickly because he didn't expect it. It's like, Stephen, stay out of this. And he's here now. And like, he was in the middle of fighting and he didn't expect Stephen to be there. And it took him off guard. And that's how Stephen could take over.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, but I still saw like a look of shock in his eyes, even though there aren't like pupils or irises or anything.
Yeah, I did too, but it was a shock that Stephen was here for this.
At all, period.
Period. Okay. Like, why are you in my head right now? Like, leave me alone. I'm fighting.
All right. This was the first time that we saw the transition, like I said earlier, between any of the characters without there being a blackout.
Yes. And it was awesome just to see it in full motion.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Can I say something and not be attacked? No.
Can't guarantee
it. No, can't guarantee it.
Not on this podcast or not on this planet.
You can say something and be attacked by friends. Does that help?
Okay, that helps. Okay.
All right.
I do not love the CGI.
Bitch.
You need to fuck off.
Did you even hear what I said?
Yeah, I didn't like
like the CGI on the cake.
Yeah.
I didn't, but I'm willing to overlook it because
I'm here. I'm with you.
That scene is absolutely amazing. That whole fight scene is so good. And then Layla grabs the clasp that she had on her jacket was also a weapon. I mean, every single bit of it was
stabs
amazing.
The and then, fuck out of Beck.
But what are you talking about when he flings the bullets back?
Honestly, moving.
The CGI on the cape stood out to me when it was being held by that guy.
It wasn't
when it was being pulled.
It wasn't
even the cape. When I was like, it's a little off here. But like you said, it didn't take me out of it.
It wasn't the cape for me. It was the full suit for Moon Knight, the whole CG suit. It was for a second like, oh, wow. Okay, you can tell what's not really here on set, you know, it just for a second, I really did immediately kind of got, it didn't pull me out for long because the scene was so good, but I did, I did see a difference, a very noticeable difference, because when we're used to a lot of these live action, you know, costumes that we have seen, you know, like when you see one that's completely CG, which I'm assuming this is, at least from what I saw in the scene, it is a little jarring. It does kind of take you for a second. It's like, oh, okay. So I don't know. It pulled me out for a split second.
I'm willing to forgive it.
And sometimes pulling out for a split second is what it takes.
That's the reason.
To keep going.
I would have a little brother if it wasn't for pulling out for just a second.
Well, I'm saying to keep going. Sometimes you got to pull out for a second.
Oh, recharge.
Yeah, recharge.
Gotcha. That is wonderful. Yeah. So
it's poetry.
If you don't take anything from this podcast, take that. Just pull out for a second.
With all the serious and, you know, significant things we've talked about, this part.
No, you're going to take this, Dick. Oh, man, I love that scene. Okay, so... Emmy,
good God.
Sometimes you look embarrassed to be on this show.
Good conch you is what you meant to say.
Bless you.
Bless you.
So we see that...
You motherfuckers.
So we see that also that we see... Hera, Arthur is just basically manipulating Layla, saying, hey, you know, there's some things he doesn't want you know, about the, with the, you know, with your dad and husband, blah, 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 blah. And, basically she questions Mark after the fact, hey, you know, what's going on? He's trying to divide us. Well, every time I learn something new, I think that's it. But then something else that comes up and I realize I don't even know you. So there's some cracks between Layla and Mark, obviously. Arthur says a lot of things that seem like Mark, what we talked about earlier at in dev, that Mark,
it's messing with him.
Yeah, exactly. Some Mark did a not so good thing to your father, or
a no-no, if you will.
Don't touch him there. That's his no-no square, you know?
I don't think it insinuated that, but
should I not?
I was thinking more murder, but
I mean, yeah, Layla, well, your you dad is touched also my crime. Penis.
Yeah, they're both crimes. I'm sorry. Sorry, I thought the no-no square was like getting shot in the chest. Like, here's the square in my chest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what you meant.
This was the point, I think, in this episode that I was like so absolutely enraptured that I took no notes until
no
way later.
No, no. The no note. The no notes paper.
This is the no notes square.
It's tough. All right. And so we need Steven. He understands all this. And, you know, I summon the gods.
Oh, wait. Well, hold on. Hold on.
What?
Hold on.
Hold on.
So they pulled the. Okay, so Hera shows up and does this thing to enthrall what's his name.
So we're calling him Hera now instead of Arthur. Is that like an
official Arthur? Name? Whatever.
I know, but we called him Arthur for the like first two episodes. Now we're calling him Hera. Like we're cool.
Yeah, but like, what does it matter?
It doesn't. But I just like about. I'm just a FYI.
But he shows up.
I'm gonna call him the big bad bitch.
I'm gonna call him Poinky Doinky Fuck.
I'm gonna call him Mr. Walks on Glass, and that's why I need a cane.
Walks on glass and has an ass.
Does he though? He's got a suit, like he's got a outfit that we can't really see his ass. Believe me, I've checked.
I'm gonna call him Tony Hawk. And so the skateboarder shows up.
And he does a 900, and everyone at the X Games is like, oh shit!
He shows up and does some kind of thing with his cane.
900.
You know, that thing with a cane?
Yep.
It's irresistible.
Simply irresistible. It
destroys most of the sarcophagus, but they gather pieces of the cloth, and then they drive.
They drive into the night.
Far away, yeah. Into the night. And that's isn't where that you were at, Brandon.
Song? Isn't there...
Drive is...
Is an Incubus song, yes? Yeah.
Yes.
Can you sing it for me?
What? Whatever tomorrow brings, I'll be there.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Incubus! I'll be there. Oh, yeah. Okay, if you don't love Incubus... Don't listen to our podcast. Just kidding. Hey, we love you. Keep listening, please.
Hey, Paul, you owe me a case of Truly.
Son of a bitch. Don't do that. Okay. Don't do that, you ass. You make me paranoid that I'm living up to my isms.
So I'm absolutely
joking. But I feel like people like our isms.
She's fucking with me. She's got a bet on my isms, and I don't like it.
Yeah, she's kind of a mean person.
She is. So we see.
She's kind of a mean person.
She is such a mean, not so good person. She's
a total mean person.
Yeah.
Communist.
She's such a comedian. Confirmed, Emmy communist. And Egyptians invented modern navigation. There's not a lot of landmarks in the desert, so they came up with a way about the sun and the stars to navigate. And voila. And what do we do with it? And see the pinpricks? That's a constellation. And Sinfu marked that tomb like 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, the stars drift. Unless we know exactly what that looked like on that date, we're buffered. I think that was autocorrect that put that. But I remember that night. I remember every night, Khonshu says.
I don't understand why Mark had to rip the mirror off here. Like, you can. So Layla tells Mark to get Steven because he knows this better.
Yep.
And there's a little bit of criticism. I think it was in our Avengers Assemble. Someone said, I'm going to read it actually. Because I want to talk about it, because I want to hear Emmy's perspective on this.
We'll let Emmy speak while you're looking that up.
No, I got it right here. Okay. I'm absolutely loving, this was Alicia Brenner.
Hey, Alicia.
I'm absolutely loving Moon Knight. It's so engrossing and different, and I hope they can talk Oscar Isaac and doing more stuff with the character going forward. I want to see him interact with the rest of the MCU, especially the new darker side. But I do have a little quibble with episode 3. I like that they've shown that there are situations where you'd much rather have Steven other than Mark. But does anyone else find it a little odd that they need Steven, a personality that seems to largely be based off Layla's strengths, to explain in a very hand-wavy way ancient Egyptian code cracking when Layla is actually Egyptian and has probably been studying this stuff longer than Steven has existed?
Damn, Alicia. Holy hell. That's fire. I kind of agree. I do agree with her. It basically, because they speak the same language as soon as Steven comes in. Like, they're even saying the same things. Why is Layla not able to piece it together as well? Ooh, Alicia, I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with her.
Emmy's like,
I think you just blew her mind.
Yeah, no, I'm frozen.
I love Brandy's. Brandy responded. Brandy Anderson responded.
Hi, Brandy.
I think Brandy nails it. I think just because she's an Egyptian archaeologist doesn't necessarily mean that she has specialized in all types of Egyptian history. And they have not established anything that shows that she has had any interest in code cracking. She seems to be mostly interested in antiquities.
Oh.
I would also add that having Steven linked to Mr. Knight actually supports why he would be good. In the comics, Mr. Knight takes on more of a detective role.
Oh,
so
Brandy.
I like that response because that's kind of where my brain went, is like, Layla was not interested in like the depth of it.
Yeah. She was like more history and shit. Yeah.
She's more into antiquities, which we saw at the beginning of the episode. She's stealing things that have already been stolen and things like that. And her name isn't, it doesn't bode well in Cairo.
Can I just say,
but that? it's setting up a precedent for Mr. Knight to be the more detective role, which is what Steven is. He understands this stuff.
Yeah.
First off, we don't really advertise our Facebook group. We have a Facebook page on, but our Facebook group is on our page as well. It's Avengers Assemble. And just the fact that Alicia and Brandy both had this amazing conversation talking about this episode.
I love it.
It's wonderful. Alicia, loved your point. Brandy, I loved your point right back. A great conversation that is happening on that group page. And our listeners, man, they come up with 10 times better stuff than we do. And it's honestly really, really, really fascinating stuff. Clinton, thank you for sharing that. And Alicia and Brandy, thank you for discussing that. That's awesome.
Both great points.
Yeah, I think they're both right. I'm gonna side with 50-50. I really, really like them. I really like Brandy's response there for sure.
Yeah, I agree, because that it is a good point that
Layla's from there.
Yeah.
But just because she's from there doesn't mean that she's
Brandy makes a great point.
Egypt, like she, she sees that sarcophagus and can read and know, like, oh, hey, this isn't what we're looking for. This is just death rites. Like, she reads hieroglyphics,
but she didn't know the code of it.
Yeah,
they call out that it's code, because Steven is telling Mark it's code, and she doesn't get that. Layla doesn't get that.
That's good, man.
Which, I mean, think of where we're from. I'm from Tennessee, but there's a lot of...
He doesn't know shit about Dolly Parton.
No, listen, I'm also gay and I idolize Dolly Parton. So I think that comes with your genes.
Okay, you're Team Alicia then.
No, I'm saying from Tennessee, I grew up in a town that was very different than me, very backwoods country. Just because I'm from here doesn't mean I participate in the festivities of the place.
Totally
I'm from.
Get it. Yes, we totally understand. Yeah,
no, you ain't going deer hunting this weekend.
I like fishing. Don't like hunting.
Oh, we should all go fishing. I think that'd be fun as fuck.
No, why? No,
Emmy, you and me go fishing in the dark.
I just want to see. I just want to see Emmy fish. Like here. All right.
No, I'm bad at fishing because I'm loud and I will not stop talking.
Well, that's what part of fishing. You just have to like tone it down. You can't be loud, but like we can have conversations while we're waiting on the fish to bite the worm.
Hold on. Let's do a podcast out on like a river lake.
You're just torturing fish.
No, we're going to just talk. We're going to be like, hey, okay.
What do you mean you're torturing fish?
Well, you're putting a hook in their cheek and then while you're going to throw them.
What do you listen?
Why would you?
We're not going to have that conversation. I agree. But sustenance is sustenance.
All right. So I can turn back the night sky. It will come at a cost and I cannot do it alone. Steven, when the gods imprison me, tell Mark to free me. And we see Mr. Knight appear. Do what I do. Turning the sky. We see this is
beautiful.
This is mental. The sky is changing. This is the night. This is surprisingly painful, Steven says. And it's working. You brought this upon yourself, Khonshu. And they start chanting. We got the coordinates 29 north, 25 east. And Stephen, Mark, where are you? And you were right about Khonshu. Now he's tethered to this place like many before him. Can he hear us? We think so. Yes. Anyway, Khonshu turns into stone for turning back the night sky from 2,000 years ago. And he knew it, too. He said, Stephen, tell Mark to free me because I'm going to be in prison. And
could Stephen not free him? Never mind. I know. Never mind.
Because he's not violent, and it's going to take violence to free Khonshu.
Yeah. And so when we
see... Also, if you look really close, when they're turning back the night sky, you can see the More You Know rainbow with a star.
I knew you were going to say something sarcastic as soon as you started talking.
Oh, no, that's... Oh, that... I'm doing Reading Rainbow. That was a different thing.
I mean, it's fitting for the More You Know about 2,000 years ago to find these coordinates.
I have to say,
it was almost the post.
I have to say, damn, that's cool. But can you bring back Daddy?
Yeah, we need Daddy. Come on, Mr. Knight.
This scene was, oh my God.
I agree.
This was in the trailer. Was it?
Yeah,
not?
But not. Yes, but not all of it.
Not to this extent.
No, it was Mr. Knight.
In the trailer?
Yep.
In the trailer?
Yes, that's what he just said.
Yes.
I thought we didn't see Mr. Knight in the trailer.
This was after they revealed Mr. Knight was going to be in the show. This is why Cosmic Cretin said that last episode, people were shitting on Mr. Knight being like a fool. He was like, he's going to develop because we've already seen him in other episodes from this scene.
Oh, was that? Wait, but that was, you're talking about the trailer for this episode. I'm talking about the trailer. No, for the show.
Yes. After Mr. Knight was revealed, we saw clips of this scene with Mr. Knight beside Khonshu.
Oh, well, in my head, I turned it into a not sexy scene with Oscar Isaac instead of Mr. Knight.
No, it's Mr. Knight. Always has been.
Always will be.
Well,
so there's also a final thing.
I do.
When we see Khonshu turned to stone, we see Arthur Harrow come up to him and he said, can I tell you a secret? I enjoy dealing out pain on your behalf. I'm grateful had you not broken me so completely. They wouldn't know the value of healing. I'm going to do what you could not. And when it's finished, I want you to remember one thing. Your torment forged me, and I owe my victory to you.
I mean, that's just a villain. Fucking stab right in the back.
That's such a villainous.
I'm doing this because
if
of
I was,
you.
If I was Harrow, I would have slammed it down on the ground and shattered it.
I mean, I thought he was going to for a second.
Yeah. This was his.
Should have been rude.
This was his decree that I'm the villain of the show.
I won, bitch. Yeah. I won. Yeah, We're halfway through.
If only Harrow
knew. I bet he don't win.
I bet if Harrow knew we were only on episode 3 of 6, he would have shut the fuck up. but no.
You want to know a secret? Never mind. I can't tell you yet.
Exactly. But no, we're not there yet. But he don't.
I think this episode had very good visuals, cinematography, everything between Khonshu in the daylight. This scene,
I love.
A lot of people on Twitter are thankful, like that they represented Egypt in a way that wasn't just sand and
patronizing, essentially,
like sand and dust and the pyramids. Like it showed the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's the first time it's been represented well. Like. This visually was a great, great episode.
I would agree with you 100%.
To your point, Clinton, the pyramids are like in
right against the
middle,
city.
Yeah, of the city. Like you can't take a picture of the pyramids and just have sand in the background. Like it's
you can because that's what all the pictures are online. It's just the pyramids because it's on the backside, not the side where the city's on.
But like it's right there, like and right.
Yeah, it's like literally right up there. Against it. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
And I absolutely love what I'm about to share. I love. Okay, so Orion's belt. So Matt last night on the Discord shared the minimalistic poster, and I was like pointing out like, oh look, this is the Little Dipper, and oh look, here's Orion's belt. No, look, here's these nuts. Like I was like pointing out things and like, oh, look, here's a scarab. Okay. Orion's belt. There is a theory that has been debunked, but
that it wasn't even Orion's belt. It was Sharon's belt the whole time.
Sharon's belt the whole time, and Ryan stole it out of her dressing room.
Yes.
Exactly. The bitch.
We knew that it. Bitch. That bitch.
But no, that the pyramids, the like three like pyramids that you see in Egypt all the time, like the Great Pyramid of Giza and the other two around them, that the pyramids line up perfectly with the stars that make up the Orion's belt.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did a bit of digging today.
What did you discover, Emmy?
Did I sound British then?
Oof.
I didn't mean to.
Oh my god, it gets worse.
Whoopsie doo.
Pip pip cheerio.
Hey, the boss, we're sorry. We're really bad at this.
Hello, governor.
Hello, boss. Okay. How are you doing?
I did a bit of digging today.
Oh, a little, in it, a little digging.
In it. It's been debunked. Clinton's over our shit.
I was going to say, when we hear the it's literally like, wrap it up, fuckers. You need to wrap that shit up and pull out.
Get on with your point, Amy.
Okay. So Orion's belt, the three pyramids, there were people who were like, oh, they line up perfectly. And
I think you said that like three times
do,
now.
Okay, if you would stop interrupting me, I wouldn't have to say it again to finish my thought. They do line up perfectly if you flip Orion's belt upside down.
So, which is how Sharon wore it. But Orion didn't know what he was doing when he stole it.
Orion seems like a dipshit.
I feel like there's a lot of credence, even though it's been debunked, about the fact that the pyramids line up to Orion's belt. And also, Clinton, you can suck it.
Give me something to suck and I'll be there.
Kevin.
Okay.
Kevin.
All right. You don't get to say suck it.
Oh, then. No, I have a lady boner.
But
I was hoping your mind would fill in. But also, please don't. Please don't take that as consent.
So that was the last episode of the Avengers Every Day.
On me, on it, because I'm about to chomp it up.
Ew.
Literally, my
is that a good pickup line?
I'm pretty sure I shriveled up to the smallest I could possibly be. Because chomping on it, that's not what you say to, I don't know, Clinton. I just want to, you know, hey, by the way,
let me chomp on that dick.
I'm coming over to chomp on that dick. I'm going to chomp that dick.
Okay, wait. Okay. I had a question for you guys. Oh, no, you're not okay.
Chomp. Okay, sorry.
Nom, 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 nom.
It's a Pac-Man on your peen, dude. It's literally like, oh, wow, oh, wow, wow.
But with teeth. Yeah. But with teeth.
No. Oh, my God. Next time you play Pac-Man, think of Clinton chomping that dick.
No, don't, please. Because I don't chomp dicks.
Old chomping dicks.
It's getting weird real fast.
What the fuck have we been talking about? We've been talking about chomping dicks the whole time, but we compare it to Pac-Man and it's weird. It's like, yeah, no, we can't.
It's weird because Pac-Man don't have teeth, but Amit does.
Hi, Emmy. You had a point before we started.
That's my pickup line.
No, I didn't have a point. Usually I had a question. Like,
you go to the bar.
That dick.
I'm going to chomp that dick.
What's your pickup line? I'm Amit. I'm going to chomp that dick.
I'm going to chomp that dick.
Okay, cool. Because I didn't hear the verb you used. I'm glad it's what I thought.
Did you just say you were going to chomp my dick? I'm going to chomp that dick.
Oh, that movie's beautiful.
It's so good. Paul Rudd, you are a blessing. Oh, the fact that you're in the MCU just makes
I'm fixing to fuck you.
Oh, I'm fixing to chomp you. Emmy just took a deep breath. I'm sorry, Emmy. You can keep going.
No, that was not a deep breath. That was a deep drink.
Oh, I was trying to be, I was trying to protect it.
Oh, no. Well, I think the people know.
She took a big swig, honestly.
A big old swig. All right. I do have a question, though.
Yes.
Are you guys ready for it?
We've been so off the rails at the end. Yes, we're fine.
Okay. This is still off the rails.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Hard.
I know you guys are both on TikTok.
Yes.
Mm. And so I got to ask. Are you guys into e-girls or i-ladies?
Nope. Ain't gonna work. I know what this is.
I'm not following.
I-ladies nuts. Is that
no.
Pretty on course. No. Yeah. No. I know what this is, Emmy. I know what it is.
How could you not give me the assist for Brandon?
No. Nope.
No.
He did know.
I did. I was like, I'm not touching this one.
All right.
Listen, I got a shout out. Chris.
You should have worked it. You should have worked it in better.
Yeah. You kind of waited till the tail end of the show.
Yeah. And like, it was out of context. Like,
mm-mm. Where would you have worked it in?
Well, but I don't know. I would have found a way. I would have built a big conversation, and then I would have worked it in there. Like, you have to have a setup. Okay, like, you have to think ahead. Right. But math people don't think that way.
No, we don't. Listen, okay, so I had a listener send that to me. Chris Hunter, I'm sorry. I failed you. I'm a dick. And I'm going to lay these nuts all over my face. I'm sorry that I failed.
I love that you put the joke on yourself afterward. When it fails, you like stab eight to brute. You like literally stab yourself, though.
This is fine. Sorry. Chris Hunter, thank you for sending it to me. I'm sorry that I fucked it up.
Chris, thank you for making her say she laid these nuts on herself. That made my day. Thank you, man. All right.
It made my day, too.
Yeah. any nuts on Emmy's face? Golly. All right, guys. That is Moon Knight Episode 3. This series, I know we went off the rails a time or two.
Weird. We don't usually do that.
We don't do that, but damn it, we do. We had a good time tonight, guys. I hope you enjoyed the show. Guys, I'm so stoked for Moon Knight Episode 4, 5, and 6. Gosh, do you realize? Okay, because I was looking at...
I'm stoked for Episode 5 in particular.
I hate you so much. I was looking at the calendar. So there's 4, 5, and 6. Episode 6 is on May 4th. And Doctor Strange is May 5th.
Yeah, no, I don't want to think about it.
In 3 weeks,
we're going to throw up.
We're going to be busy as fuck in 3 weeks. So pray for us, because we're going to be reviewing the season finale. It's not even just a regular episode. The season finale of Moon Knight, and then Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness right the next day, essentially. So we're going to be...
If I feel like it, you don't speak for me.
I'm
when
Laura.
you say
for the trees.
When you say we, you mean you and Emmy, apparently, because that's I have not told you I'm going to be there.
Okay,
because my weekend is different.
I'm off on Wednesdays and Tuesdays. My weekend is different.
Listen, I mostly record on. I think we all do. Never mind. We all record on a work day.
We do.
Except tonight, I'm off, but...
Yeah, okay, so...
He just fucking did it! I'm off today. Fuck off!
I haven't been off.
Yeah, well, you know what? The only thing that gets you off is chomping that dick. So, yeah.
Oh, my God!
So, we hope you enjoyed Moon Knight Episode 3, The Avengers.
I still have...
Some post credits.
I love credits.
All right, let's get some credits names. Some Mary Chrysler. All right, Amy, what is our credits names?
All right, I think I did pretty well this time.
All right,
So our sound engineer, Daniel Tappan, deadass.
Daniel Tappan.
Deadass.
Okay.
All right.
Hilarious.
Oh my God.
She hates the sound effects so much. Did you see her look?
It's the delivery. I mean, it's the delivery.
Did you see her look up to the heavens? No, God, no.
That's forsaken me.
That soundboard gods have forsaken me. My name is Brandon. I am the avatar for the soundboard asshole. God. All right, Amy. What's our next credits?
All right. This is how I feel about Moon Knight. This is our set production assistant. I need a mer. I need a mer. I need a mer. Oh, fuck you.
I think just because you say it over and over doesn't get the point across. I don't.
No, Amy.
You're doing the same thing three times in a row. Expecting a different
result. It's the definition of madness. Yeah. It's
yeah, weird. You know what?
Insanity.
I need a mer. I need a mer.
You need.
Anita, you to chomp on this dick.
All right. Moon Knight episode 3. I can't even keep a track anymore. Moon Knight episode 3. Thank you for joining us. We will be back next week if you want to join the shit train a little bit more. It's a shit train. We literally, everything you look, if you look at all of our little carts, it's all just filled with shit. But we hope you enjoyed the show. We hope you made you laugh. If we made you laugh, if we made you think, if you enjoyed the conversation, regardless of what it is, if you can really think about it, consider giving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's a really, really big deal for us when you leave a 5-star rating. It really gets us moved up those rankings, gets more eyes and ears on the show. It really helps support the show. And speaking of supporting the show, if you want exclusive content. Yes, exactly. And also, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast, $1, $3, $5, $10 tiers. If you join our $5 tier, you get 12 exclusive movie reviews right off the bat. 12 movie reviews, and they go about two, three hours at length, every single one. So you got a lot of bonus content right there available in our library for our Patreon. So, and $10, you get our episodes unedited. What you heard tonight was not us unedited. That's the crazy thing. We have a lot of pre-show, post-show fun rambles. We have watch parties. $3, you get to our Discord. $1, you get a shout out. The higher tiers you go up, you get all the previous tiers, included. So a lot of really, really good stuff. And if you want a Avengers hoodie and you didn't get picked, sorry guys, AvengersPodcast.com/shop. We got hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, stickers, all that fun, good stuff. So,
and you can join my Venmo, my personal Venmo. You can join that and just send me money directly.
Clinton, no, I don't know how to tell you this. We're a team. That's how a team works. All three of us. That's how teams work.
Okay. Team Venmo. This is.
Is that how I was supposed to be doing paychecks?
Yeah. Clint makes his own money, and then you and I divide whatever we make from the Avengers.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. There you go.
All right, yeah, because cool. I haven't okay. been paying.
Fair. Fair. That's fine. That's fine. I'm getting a ton of money off my nipples. It's fine.
Go to onlyfans.com/chompthatdick and you will see Clinton's page. And we hope you enjoy us over there. And so thank you so much. We'll be back next week. Thank you for your support. And we will see you next time. Clinton, Emmy, any final words before we call it an evening?
28 school days until I'm out of school for summer.
That's crazy. Holy crap.
I love you guys or something. I don't know. Get the music, Brandon. The music.